your kingdom here. How many of you want to see the kingdom of God come? Amen. We want his kingdom to come through his Holy Spirit. And that's why we're here today, to celebrate and to give God praise and thanks for all that he has done for us. Special welcome if you are visiting with us for the first time or visiting again. We want you to know that you are so, so welcome. And our prayer is that you will be blessed by this service today. Now, after the service has been concluded, we ordinarily meet in the church lounge after the service. So please feel free to stop by after the service and have an opportunity to get to know each other. We're a loving family. We don't bite, trust me. And so please do avail yourself to that opportunity to fellowship together. We'll be in the church lounge after the service, where there'll be teas and coffees and some selection of biscuits. So please feel free to join with us after the service. Now, before we pray and move forward in our service, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to move this very important item to the forefront this morning. And that is none other than the birthday box. So, now Anna's removed the cover by faith because I haven't even asked the question yet, so we don't know. Is there any of our children and young people here today who is celebrating the joy of a birthday in and around this week? Faith without works is dead, eh? Come on down. Come on down. Good. And what about any of the adults? Any adults? Yes. Bless you. Yes. We're going to sing happy birthday in just a moment. But we've got a young man coming down. Hey, how you doing? You okay? What's your name? Joshua. Hey, and when's your birthday, Joshua?
Tomorrow.
And how old are you going to be?
8.
Wow. That is a very good age, you know. I was 8 once. And I was probably shorter than... Oh, we've got another one as well. What's your name? Emmanuel. Oh, and how old are you going to be? 8 as well. Wow. When's your birthday?
It was last Wednesday.
So we've got 2 8-year-olds here. Isn't that wonderful? Amazing. Josh has got... Oh! You have not because you asked not, eh? What's your name? Nicole. How old are you going to be, Nicole? 13. When's your birthday? It was on Monday. Happy birthday, Nicole. So good to have you. All right, well, please feel free on behalf of the church to have a look at any gift that you like. Nicole's gone for the bag. Yes. Love that. Yes. We pray that you have your birthday's gone and birthday to come tomorrow, Josh. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time. And we're going to sing happy birthday to you all now. Let's sing. Happy birthday. Beautiful. All right, Anna's going to come now and give us our call to worship scripture that we're going to read together, and then we're going to pray and go into a time of song worship.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah, it worked. Fantastic. We're going to look at Psalms 95, verses 1 to 6. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all kings, all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Come, let us bow in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Amen. Well, church, we have read together the invitation from the psalmist to come and let us bow down in worship. And we're going to worship our great God together now as we bow down in our hearts, as we offer thanksgiving to God, as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's do so together, magnifying the name of Jesus Christ, who is above all kings. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Let's stand together as we pray, and then we're going to sing our first song, which is Praise by Elevation Worship. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together safely this morning. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one today. But most of all, we have come with one item on the agenda, and that is to worship you, because only you are deserving of the praise and the worship. So we ask now that you would receive our offering of worship and praise and thanksgiving to you. We pray that you'll be pleased with our worship this morning. We thank you that Jesus Christ, our mediator, is able now to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our sins, so that, Lord, nothing would stand in the way of us receiving from you today. So come and take your rightful place. We ask boldly, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Lead and guide us this morning as we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning. Now, before we begin with this one, Nathan's asked me, because we haven't got a drummer today, so we're going to need a bit of your help. Now, I've taught this song, actually, this couple of weeks to my class, so I know you guys are going to be amazing. So to begin, I'm going to say something, and you're going to repeat it back. Then we're going to have a go at doing it all together. Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, now let's try it together. You ready? I'm going to count us in. We're just going to have a go without the band first and see how we do. Let everything that has breath together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're doing it all together. Okay, we're doing it all together. We'll see. We'll try it with the band. We'll have a bit of fun. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will lead us.
Let everything
that has breath,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Let everything
that has breath,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
I'll praise when I'm numbered. I'll praise.
I praise cause you're sovereign. I praise cause you reign. I praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. I praise cause you're true. I praise cause there's nobody greater. And again, I praise cause you're sovereign. I praise cause you reign. I praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. I praise cause you're true. I praise cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
God the glory, and thank you to Andy, who was a bit of our drummer there.
going to continue in worship, and please feel free if you need to take a seat and just to rest your legs for a while. If you want to remain standing, then that's absolutely fine. But the next two songs focuses on the Holy Spirit. Spirit Breakout and Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here.
Up the earth and skies, revival. We
time to just lift your voice to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We need you. We need you. Lift your voice. Feel free.
Worship. Please feel free to do so as we just allow the Holy Spirit to minister and move in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life, atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may come. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purpose of blood to every believer. Yes. The promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus. Hallelujah. A pardon he or she will receive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord,
let the people rejoice.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please do take your seats in the presence of God. Amen. We are going to pray for our children and young people as they prepare to head out to their groups to learn more about the Lord. We are so grateful for so many of our children and young people who are here. And we're going to pray that they will have a wonderful time in their groups. And also all the teachers, all those who are assisting. God bless you as you continue to serve in the children's and youth ministry. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you so much for blessing this church with children and young people. And we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have as a church, that we can provide Christian education and nurture through the word of God to our children and our young people. And we pray now as they go out to hear and to learn more about you and your love and your word. We pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts, their young hearts, to you and their eyes, that they may see and behold wonderful things out of your word today. We thank you so much for the teachers and the assistants. Bless them in their preparation, Lord, to teach today. May they have a wonderful, wonderful time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Children and young people, please do depart for your groups. Have a wonderful time. We serve a great God. He is great and greatly to be praised. If he was an average God, then he would be deserving of average praise. If he was a mediocre God, then he would be deserving of mediocre praise. But the Bible lets us know that God is great, and because he's great, he's deserving of great praise. He's the name above all names. Thanks to the worship team for leading us today in worship. Thank you, congregation, for responding in praise and worship to God. I want to call your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians as we conclude our sermon series on the Holy Spirit this week. Certainly hope that you've been challenged and blessed, inspired by the series, both on Sunday and also on Wednesdays. And we're drawing the series to a close, but we're not drawing the Holy Spirit to a close. We want the Holy Spirit to continue to lead and guide us in our lives and also collectively in the church. And today, we've heard a lot throughout the series, both on Wednesdays and also Sundays. And Ricky, our youth pastor, has been doing a wonderful job, hasn't he, in sharing God's word. And last week, he shared about how the fruit of the Spirit, the importance of the fruit of the Spirit. And that, of course, is essential for us as believers. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives us the ability to bear fruit for him. But also, not only are we called to bear fruit as Christians, but God has also equipped us with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And today we're going to look at the topic of spiritual gifts today. And to bring some context today, as you can see on the screen, I've put a little challenge today in a very sports-related theme. It's time to get off the bench. Can we say that together? It's time to get off the bench. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse number 1, it reads like this. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. In the King James Version, it says, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be misinformed, misguided about the spiritual gifts. Goes on to say, you know that when you were pagan, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. This is very key for us today. There are different kinds of gifts, different types of gifts that God gives to us. But it is the same Holy Spirit that distributes each gift. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God who is at work. And verse 7, our final verse, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Gifts are given to the body of Christ, and it is for good, for common good. And then if we can come to chapter 14, just one verse, Paul goes on, continuing the theme of spiritual gifts in the church. And just one verse from chapter 14 I want to leave with you today. Follow the way of love and eagerly, can we say eagerly? Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Eagerly desire. Eagerly desire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word once again. And Lord, we are mindful that this is not possible without your Holy Spirit leading and guiding and empowering just a mere man, a servant, who has no power and authority of myself. But I pray as your servant, as your messenger, that you would anoint me afresh now for just a few moments as we unpack, Lord, your truth and your word. And we pray, Lord, that we would apply your word to our hearts, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would also be doers of your holy word. So speak to each and every one of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's time to get off the bench. Let's say that one more time with me. It's time to get off the bench. Hallelujah. As you can imagine, as a big football fan, I have been entrenched in watching the European Championships that's currently going on at the moment in Germany. And of course, following the nation, England, I'm bidding them to do well. And like many others across this nation, perhaps there is an air of disappointment, because although the team has qualified to the next stage of the tournament, there's been a lot of disappointment concerning the way the team is performing on the pitch. However, friends, something really stuck out to me through the European Championship so far that's really, really just hit home for me. And it's something that I failed to focus much on in the past, because when I used to play, I never spent much time on the bench. I was always one of the starters. But through the European Championships, I was drawn to the fact that each nation that is representing in the European Championships, they have a 26-man squad. 26 individuals are called up by their nation to represent their country in the European Championships. But as you know, only 11 at a time is able to play during the 90 minutes, which means a good number of that 26-man squad throughout the entire tournament will not even play 1 minute of action. They are confined to the bench. Now, when you are on the bench, it really is a test of your character. It is a test of your character. Because woven into the fabric of every human heart, church, is the unified objection, if you will, to despise being overlooked. None of us like to be overlooked. I haven't met one person who would voluntarily say, "I like being overlooked." We just don't like it. No one likes to be left out of the party. No one likes to be uninvited. Can you imagine if I was to say that I have, after the service, a wonderful array of sweets and chocolates, beautiful sweets and chocolates, and I am ready to distribute them out, but the condition is only those who are on the lower level can partake of the sweets and the chocolate. And those on the balcony, I'm sorry, but you cannot have any of the sweets and chocolate. Then immediately those on the balcony will be starting to think in their minds, "Well, hold on a minute. What is the difference between me and those who are seated on the lower level?" Because within each and every one of us, church, there is that desire to be seen, to be valued, to be welcomed, to be affirmed, to be recognized. In a real sense, it's must have been how young David in the Bible felt when he was left out, when his brothers were called to meet Samuel as they were about to anoint a new king. And his father Jesse left him out, felt that he was not worthy to be included in this party. But David was called out from the fields, tending to his father's flock, because God wanted to welcome him, call him and anoint him to be a king. And church, such was the case right here at the very scene of our text this morning. The Corinthian church were a very gifted church. spiritually gifted with an array, a splendor of spiritual gifts at their disposal. But unfortunately, they slipped into a hierarchical position where those who were able to perform gifts of healing and those who were able to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance were almost placed on a pedestal in the church. And those who could operate with the more practical gifts, like helps and administration, they were relegated to a lower rank. So the Apostle Paul here had to write to the church to address these issues, to let them know that there is no hierarchy in God's church, because we are all part of the body of Christ. It does not matter what gift you may have in the body, but no member of the body is an island to him or herself, because we are all united through the very same Holy Spirit that joins us to the body of Christ. So the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. But all parts of the body is useful and valuable in God's sight. The gifts of the Spirit, Paul says, are not given so that you can have some sort of egotistical bashing session, where I can speak in tongues more than you, where I can lay my hands on the sick and they recover, but you can't do it. Well, I can pray all night, but you can only pray for 5 minutes. That is not the intention or the purpose of the spiritual gifts. But Paul says, I want the entire church to be unified. Unified through the spiritual gifts, that we're all part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And as I was perusing this text, and as I was thinking about the analogy of those, as you can see on the screen, just sitting back on the bench, my spiritual antennas went into full gear. And I could not help but think that could it be that some of us as Christians, spiritually, we are comfortable sitting on the bench. We have slipped into lethargy, where we are comfortable just spiritually sitting on the bench. Could it be that we're wondering, I don't know if I can offer anything valuable to the body. I don't know if I am gifted enough. I don't know if I am talented enough. I'm struggling to see, what can I bring to the table? And could it be that because we are concerned about our own spiritual gifting, that we're worried that we can only sit back on the bench and not engage in the spiritual gifts that God has given to the church? So this morning, I just want to encourage you today that I believe it's time to get off the bench. I believe this is the day and this is the season for the church, the body of Christ, to recognize all that God has in store for us and all that God has equipped us with, that we can stand up and take our rightful place in this earth and in this community, that we are called to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I am going to offer just three brief points, first and primarily, as to why some of us may be struggling with just sitting back on the bench spiritually. Here's the first one. disbelief in spiritual gifts or sitting on the fence? Disbelief in the spiritual gifts. As we read this morning, Paul opens chapter 12 in Corinthians by saying, church, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant of what, Paul? Here it is. Ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts. And I believe throughout Christendom over the years, could it be that the church has been uninformed and ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts? Could it be that we have sat back and said, well, that was for the apostolic age. That was for the early church. We don't need the spiritual gifts in today's context and culture. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the same power, the same anointing, the same spiritual gifting that walked with Paul and Peter and the apostles is the very same power that is available for the church today. And the question, first and primarily, is do we believe in the spiritual gifts that God wants to give to us? Or are we sitting back on the bench and saying, we don't want that. We're happy just to sit back on the bench. Can I encourage us as a church that the Bible that we so affectionately value was not just written as some type of historical book that we can read the passages and say that was good for that time, but the very same power is available for the church today so that the church can be effective in pointing people to Jesus Christ? Could it be that we have some disbelief? Or could it be that we're sitting on the fence, not too sure? Number two, here's the second one. Feeling unworthy. Not good enough for spiritual gifts. Could it be that you are fixated on the things that you have done wrong in your life? I'm here to encourage you that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is available for you. And he remembers your sins no more when you confess them and give them over to him. Please don't feel unworthy in his presence. God loves you and he wants to lavish his children with spiritual gifts. Third and finally, fear of stepping out of your comfort zone. God, I'm not too sure if I want to receive spiritual gifts because it's going to take me out of the box. I'm comfortable on the bench. It's quite a nice seat. I like my seat. But can I encourage you that God has not given us the spirit of fear in the church? We are not called to be afraid as the body of Christ. Despite the darkness and the evil that surrounds the church and goes against the church to try and stop it from advancing, we do not have to cower back in fear. He's not given us fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So these are three reasons that perhaps are preventing us from asking God to give us the spiritual gift. But now let me come on to the reasons why I believe we should get off the bench. Let's go on to the reasons for. Number one, here's the first one. Because God wants to give you spiritual gifts. I love this. In chapter 14, Paul opens. We read it earlier. He says, follow the way of love. And here it is. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Very strong terminology here from Paul. Earnestly desire it. Have you ever noticed the behavior in those of you who have children and grandchildren? Whenever they really want something, when a child really wants a gift, a present, they are going to let you know how much they want it. When Christmas is coming up or a birthday, they are not going to shy away from asking mom or dad or granddad or grandmum. They are going to let them know, this is the gift that I want. I really want this. Because if you don't ask, you don't get. Or at least have an opportunity to get it. And Paul wanted the church to know, yes, you need to sort out your motives for the gifts, because it's not about a hierarchy. But please know, God wants to give you gifts. And he says, this is what I want you to do. Not just desire them, but eagerly desire them. I want the church to act with a firm conviction. That word eager, it denotes action, going after it. When I wanted to marry Anna, I was not passive, but I went after her. I said, this is going to be my wife. And all the other suitors, you've got to get out of the way. Because if you want something, you've got to desire it earnestly, eagerly. And such is the case concerning the spiritual gifts. Could it be that we're too timid in our prayers concerning the gifts? God says, I want you to eagerly desire it. So can I encourage us as a church, in your private prayer moments, as you are going through your list of prayers, can I encourage you to put spiritual gifts on your prayer list this week? Paul says you can ask for it, eagerly desire it, go after it, because God wants you to have them. Number two, it's important that we recognize that we're all on the same team and share the same spirit. So I might receive a gift that is different from Sean. And Sean might receive a gift that is different from David and from Mark. But just because my gift is different from David's, it does not mean that I am more spiritual than David. We're all on the same team. We're serving the same God, and the gifts are given for a purpose. What is the purpose? To build up the body of Christ. So the body is lacking nothing. So that even when unbelievers come into the church, there is an array of gifts that are ready and available that can be an effective witness and help to an unbelieving person that can help to build them up in the faith. That if they need healing, it's available in the body. That if they need encouragement, it's available in the body. That if they need kindness, then they will find kindness in the body. An unbeliever should never come into the body wondering, I don't know if I can find what I'm looking for. They should find everything in God's church. That is the purpose. But we've got to be careful to learn from the Corinthian church that their motives got all out of sync. They started to take their eyes off Jesus and started to look at themselves. Oh, look how gifted I am. That is not the purpose for spiritual gifts. It is to give the glory to God and to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for self-aggrandizement, but to glorify God and to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Third and finally, I love this. Spiritual gifts strengthen the church and point people to Jesus. Paul goes on in chapter 14 to talk about the gift of speaking in tongues and also the gift of prophecy. And I love Paul's sentiment and his heart in his writing to the church, because he had the unbeliever always in mind. And I believe that that is a good lesson for us today. It's important that as we continue to serve, and even in our services as a church, that we don't just become insular as a church. We should always be outward focused. We should always be thinking of those who have not yet come to know Jesus as Lord. And also be looking out for the weak, the vulnerable, those in our community who are left to the sides, marginalized, those who are on the bench, if you will, in our society. That is the purpose for the church, to look out and go after the lost. And Paul had in mind that the spiritual gifts should always not just edify and build up the church, but also build up the unbeliever. So for example, concerning speaking in tongues, he said, now I can see that you guys love speaking in tongues, Corinthian church. But he says, what profit is it to speak in tongues without an interpretation? Because if the unbeliever is in your midst, he or she will not have a clue what you're on about. So he says, with the unbeliever in view, I want you to have interpretation, which is another spiritual gift. So if someone speaks in tongues in the church, there must be an interpretation so that the unbeliever can receive the message from God. The gifts are to build up the body, but also to point unbelievers to Jesus Christ. But in closing today, Nathan, you are encouraging us to earnestly ask and seek for the spiritual gifts. You've listed for us some of the perhaps preconceived notions, feeling unworthy, feeling not spiritual enough. But all that does not matter to God. God says, you are my beloved. You are my child. You're a part of my body. And I want you to have the best of gifts. How great is God that not only did he fill us with the Holy Spirit when we became a Christian, but he's now given us the ability to bear fruit, but also to have spiritual gifts. Isn't he a wonderful father? And that's why Jesus said, even earthly fathers, a good earthly father will know how to give good gifts to his child. But even more so will our heavenly father know how to give good gifts to his children. I'm here to encourage you today. God has an array of gifts for his church. But the question is this morning, do you want them? Do you want what God has to give? And I've decided in my heart personally that everything that God wants me to have, I want to have. I don't want to sit back on the bench and say, no, God, I'm all right. I don't want those ones. I'm happy with what I got. But everything that God wants me to have, I want to have. I want to encourage someone again. It's time to get off the bench. You are not overlooked. You are not unworthy. You are a part of the body of Christ. Being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, it is the greatest blessing that you and I could ever receive. To be a part of the body. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ gave his life for the body. He gave his life for the body. You are important to him. You have a part and a role to play in the body. You're not like the teams in the Euro Championships that only 11 can play at a time and the rest sit back on the bench. But in the body of Christ, every single member is important. Every single member has a role to play. He wants to lavish his church with spiritual gifts. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. And we thank you that through your word, that you have called us to earnestly desire, to eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Father, we are sorry for some of the ways in which we have overlooked the spiritual gifts. We're sorry for the way in which we have at times sat back on the bench saying, that's not for me. But Father, today, in our hearts, just like Paul encouraged the church in Corinth, we want to eagerly desire all that you have in store for your church. Lord, we don't want to receive the gifts so that we can pump ourselves up, so that we can boast of the gifts. But Father, we want spiritual gifts so that we can point the way to Jesus. And so that the body of Christ can be furnished and equipped with every spiritual gift so that we will be lacking nothing. So Father, with expectation in our hearts now, we eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Fill us anew right now. Fill us afresh right now with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, that we may bear fruit for you and that we may receive the spiritual gifts. Father, I thank you in advance that we're going to see gifts come to the forefront in your church, that many unbelievers are going to come to know Jesus because of your Holy Spirit and your gifts. So come and have your way now. Minister to every heart. Help us by faith to get off the bench this morning and to go out into the field, into the body of Christ, to do your will and your plan. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I mentioned earlier in the message that we are a part of the body of Christ only because of Jesus Christ. And today I would love to lovingly share the good news of Jesus with you today. If there's one here today who has not yet come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm here to encourage you that God loves you. He loves you so much. And he has a great plan for your life. That plan included the greatest plan ever known to humanity, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world for you, with you in mind, that whosoever believes on Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. Is there one today that wants to make a decision in your heart to say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Save me. I want to walk with you. Is there one here today that wants to raise your hand? Say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. Would there be one? Amen. Amen. Is there anyone here today that would like further prayer? If perhaps maybe you're struggling right now in your life, struggling to get off the bench, then after the service, our prayer partners will love to meet and pray with you. You can meet us in the prayer corner here on the lower level, where we can pray for you and share God's plan and his word with you. Amen. The worship team are coming back as we prepare to close our service. We will sing the goodness of God. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees and fellowship. And for those of you who have to rush off, I'll be on the door to greet you and shake your hand. So good to have you. And again, for those of you who are visiting for the first or second or third time, you are so welcome. And I'd love to share with you after the service and have a chat with you. So please do come and greet me. I'd love to share with you. Let's receive now the benediction as we draw this service to a close. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all evermore. Amen.
God bless you, church.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you.